This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Tuesday, March 27th, 2012. In the news today, it looks like an early fire season is here. Benta Berkland has an update on the budget from the state capitol. And we've got a couple of stories from Marcy Krivenin over at Aspen Public Radio. And finally, a Sandhill Crane count for you this morning. But let's get started. Colorado's fire season is getting off to an early and busy start. Earlier this month, a fire on the Eastern Plains blew up quickly and scorched some homes. Now a fire southwest of Denver has forced evacuations in Jefferson County. The Denver Post reports the Lower North Fork fire near Aspen Park has grown to more than 3,000 acres, and Jefferson County authorities have issued mandatory evacuations for more than 900 homes in Jefferson County as crews from across the region fought the blaze last night. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Department said possibly as many as 20 homes have been burned, but there have been no reports of injuries. Crews continued to fight the fire, with more resources expected to have arrived overnight. The fire is located between U.S. Highway 285 and South Foxton Road. Officials believe the fire started from the embers of a controlled burn last week by the Colorado State Forest Service. It was first reported at 2 p.m., and at 5 p.m. it was still less than 15 acres, but took off with wind gusts as high as 70 miles per hour. Crews from across the region responded to several fires, fanned by high winds in the afternoon. Dry, gusty weather pushed small wildfires across parts of Colorado, including several small fires in the foothills in Jefferson County, as well as fires in Summit, Larimer, Weld, and Logan counties. State lawmakers have about $200 million extra dollars in next year's budget, according to the latest figures. The additional money means one of the thorniest budget issues will be resolved before the budget is even introduced. Here's Benta Berkland with more for us from the state capitol.
The debate on whether to suspend a property tax break for seniors was shaping up to be one of the big budget fights. But Democratic Senator Pat Stedman of Denver, who serves on the budget committee, said in a tweet that the extra money means the issue is essentially off the table. House Minority Leader Mark Ferrandino agrees.
The budget has just gotten a lot simpler. That doesn't mean there won't be arguments and disagreements. There's 100 different people in the legislature. They all have different ideas of what should happen. But overall, I think it will be a budget that we can find broad bipartisan support for.
On Monday, the Budget Committee also voted unanimously to give more money to K-12 schools. Republican Budget Committee Chair Sherry Giroux of Evergreen made the motion. It means the funding level for each student won't be cut this year.
I'd like to see if there's any way we can bring K-12 back up to where it was last year. And that would be a 57.232 appropriation.
Lawmakers are still planning to introduce the budget at least a week late, but the additional wiggle room means negotiations should go more smoothly. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
An early spring can spell trouble for a certain type of Rocky Mountain butterfly. A new study in the journal Ecology Notes points to early snowmelt as the culprit for the decline of a butterfly that thrives in mountain meadows, like the ones around Aspen, for example. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin reports.
The Mormon fritillary butterfly is a small insect with big antennae. Its wingspan reaches 1.5 inches, and black and orange wings make it identifiable. Early spring weather in the high country is impacting these butterflies by shrinking their food source and lowering their population. Scientists at the Colorado-based Rocky Mountain Biological Laboratory studied the butterflies and wrote the report.
They were interested in how these early snowmelts might affect the butterfly populations, the Mormon fritillary. What they found is that early snowmelts can affect the butterflies in two different ways.
Director of the laboratory, Ian Billick, says early snowmelt and warming temperatures tempt the butterfly's food source, wildflowers, to spring to life. If the flowers grow early, a spring frost can kill them. The less food a Mormon fritillary gets, the fewer eggs it lays, says Billick, ultimately leading to a decline in population.
You could see a 90% reduction in years that are really bad for the butterfly. But it is worrying if we were to continue these kind of early snowmelts, which seems highly likely, it wouldn't augur well for the long-term population numbers of the butterfly.
Early snowmelt is affecting other insects too, like mayflies, which are popular in fly fishing. An early spring makes it difficult for the mayfly to produce and grow. Billick says the climate is changing as it always has, but it's happening more quickly, leaving little time for insects to adapt.
There's less time for organisms to reshuffle. They're being faced with warmer temperatures, greater variation in moisture. So really, they're experiencing rapid change.
The Rocky Mountain Biological Lab researches high mountain valleys in order to better understand ecology around the world. Billick says early snowmelt and its impacts are felt beyond the Colorado Rockies. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Marcy Grivenin.
And here's an interesting story. A group of new immigrants to the United States are sharing their stories through artwork on the walls of Carbondale Middle School. A freshly painted mural in a busy hallway recounts the journeys of six students from places like Guatemala and Mexico to Carbondale. As Marcy Krivenin reports, what was once home to these students is now becoming a distant memory as they adjust to new lives in Carbondale.
It's lunchtime at Carbondale Middle School, and throngs of students are walking by a mural on their way to the cafeteria. The floor-to-ceiling painting brightens the dim hallway. It's on a wall just outside Mary Hernandez's room.
Okay, gentlemen. Almost time to go.
Hernandez is the English language teacher and the force behind this painting. Earlier in the school year, she had the students in this class, all recent arrivals to the United States from Latin America, reflect on their experience of moving to Carbondale. They kept a diary of their thoughts and observations.
Then we took, you know, the experiences that they had had and got them thinking about how they could put that in a artistic piece.
Local artist Erica Epperson worked with the students, showing them famous paintings like Frida Kahlo's self-portrait on the border between Mexico and the United States and Diego Rivera's Allegory of California. Epperson says the stories that inspired these paintings, like leaving behind memories and creating new ones in a new land, resonated with the kids.
Cultural differences and emotions, how you felt about two different cultures and how you found your home in both somehow. So Diego Rivera does that very well. He was maybe more political. Frida Kahlo was maybe more just emotional.
Have a seat, you guys.
In just 4 weeks' time, teacher Mary Hernandez says the kids were transformed into muralists. Hernandez is standing in the hallway with the young artists.
Each one of them has a line, and the line represents their journey. So that is a big part of it. And Alex, do you want to show her your line?
This is my line.
The blue.
Yes.
The focal point of the mural is a set of six lines crisscrossing South and North America. 11-year-old Stephanie painted the pink line from Guatemala to Carbondale.
Yo vine con mis hermanas para acá.
She came with her two sisters and her brother, Jose, and waiting for her were her mother and the lawyer, and they flew from Guatemala.
The mural is divided in two, with pictures depicting what the students like about the United States at the top and memories from their homeland at the bottom. 12-year-old Alex painted his grandparents in the bottom half.
My mom and dad wanted me to learn English, and that's why they brought me over here. When I came here, I missed my grandparents and my friends and my dogs, and I don't like it here much because I don't have my friends and my grandparents.
The students all arrived within the last 2 years. The most recent newcomers got here just 2 months ago. So their lives in Carbondale are still new. Some of the kids moved here to reunite with their parents or escape the lawlessness of their home country. 10-year-old Alexandra struggles to talk about her journey to the U.S. because it was difficult. She's from El Salvador.
Yo llegué aquí porque mis papás me querían ver. Yo tengo de ver a mi papá.
I came here because my parents wanted to see me. I hadn't seen my dad for 7 years, and I hadn't seen my mom for 5 years. So they told me it would be better to be over here because in Salvador there's a lot of delinquency.
Hernandez says painting the mural gives the kids a chance to explore these often difficult feelings, the issues that inevitably come up during such life-changing transitions.
So the challenges of being apart from your parents, then the journey, which can be very traumatic, and then having to start a whole new life and going through the culture shock and all that stuff. It's a long, long process, and the stories are pretty intense.
She says now that they're in the United States, the students are most excited to learn a new language and meet new friends.
Hi, Alex.
Hernandez says the kids sometimes find it hard to understand why people are so interested in their stories. To them, the experiences don't seem remarkable, but Hernandez assures them others are curious and appreciate their openness.
I tell them that I really admire them. I think that they have a strength that we can all learn from.
Next month is Tell Your Story Month at the school, where the entire student body is encouraged to open up. Hernandez says the mural will be a focal point of the event. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Marcy Grivenin.
The art project at the middle school was part of the Carbondale Council on Arts and Humanities Artist in the Classroom program. It was started to keep art programs in schools. Often, art is the first to go when schools consider budget cuts. And for our final story this morning, here is an update on the number of sandhill cranes spotted at Fruit Growers Reservoir last night. As you know, this is the season when the sandhill cranes migrate north to their breeding grounds, I believe it is. Sunday night, we saw 2,000 birds. Last night, there were only 200 spotted. This concludes the KVNF Morning Newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.